Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Dissipation of Glamour webinar. And, you know, the next, well, at least I must say, in terms of humanity, the beginning second wave of the virus in certain places here in Europe, and we suspect it during flu season. We have the American election, which is playing an outsized role on the world stage, and in which very corrupt methods are being used. That's why we're going to stick with the idea of manipulation, because it's just very obvious how the situation of the recent death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has played into the hands of those who do not care for the freedom and democracy within not only the United States, but the world community. So we have about 40 days left. It reminds me of the 40 days of wandering in the wilderness. And Master Moria talks about that as well, that the wilderness is the astral plane from a certain perspective. And when one passes on, one is to move through that wilderness deliberately, rapidly, fleetly, you know, and not be stuck in its phenomena, the way so many millions today are stuck in the glamorous situation, which is quite plainly the effort of the lodge of form, the lodge of materialism, the lodge of darkness, to do everything it can to prevent the proper entry of humanity into the Aquarian Age. Energies, you know, are neutral, and they can be badly misused. And the energy of Aquarius can lead to standardization. That's one thing. And it can lead to a condition where epidemics spread, the good and the evil, will spread throughout humanity, though we can hope that this very serious epidemic, becoming ever more so, ever more serious, will awaken at least semi-thinking people, to the situation which we, humanity, have created through our selfishness. Every nation is selfish in some way. And I'll read the statement about the selfishness of the United States. Of course, he also includes other countries. And we have to realize that nations are not yet full disciples. They may aspire now and then. And we have witnessed, let's say, in the States, a great aspiration under the Lord of Liberation, who is connected with liberty. Equality certainly does not come through, and true brotherhood does not come through. And even a minimal amount of liberty comes through. And what is said of this nation with its present crisis can be said in a general way about humanity as well, only maybe in less severe forms in certain places where there is greater maturity. I'd like to welcome you. Glad to see you here. Some of you, I realize, are really up in the wee hours, you know, and starts like at 1 o'clock in the morning for you, or worse. So I want to thank you for being here, and welcome Anna and Annette and Catherine and Chuang and let's see where I am here, and Cindy, Frederick, Gretchen, and Karen, Leslie, Martha, Martine, Miro, Olivia, Rebecca, Risto, Tia, Vera, and Zenaide, and Anne Veronica. And over here on the right-hand side, you know, Michael, Stacy is keeping the ship heading in the right direction here. Technically, we'll be on the ball, hopefully. We're continuing, you know, what we've been doing here at first. Well, I just want to say we're going to use the second great invocation this morning, and it is powerful, and it is not to the liking of everybody because it's so will-centered, and it came out in 1940. And the Tibetan predicted, and he was correct, that it was not as popular as the first great stanza of the great invocation, which worked with the theme of goodwill. This was a demand in the middle of the war that the rule of evil had to cease. It now must end. The use of this invocation now by us at this time in these 40 days when humanity will be especially lost in the wilderness, and probably afterwards too, it's to help guide us through under the impression of the divine will. We do not mean that we will not use the other great invocation as we have come to know it. We will. But we will also add to it the power of the second of the great invocations, and try to understand deeply how the present situation bears upon the return of the Christ, and why this is a critical moment. The Tibetan warned about the fascism, latent fascism of the United States. And now, you know, there are some who see very little difference between what some are trying to engineer or manipulate and what happened in Germany 90 years ago. Indeed, there are similarities, and it comes basically because of the sixth ray in the recrudescence of the sixth ray in its negative guise before it goes out of incarnation as far as the race of human beings is concerned. I mean, in the long term, I don't think we will have a problem, but the transition and the loss and the suffering, and not just for the U.S., but for humanity as a whole, as the pandemic indicates, will be more extreme unless we people who are being trained in esotericism take up with earnestness our inner role, and where it's possible, of course, an outer role as well. Humanity needs to be educated in the errant paths that it seems to take under the spell of glamour, and naturally the lodge of darkness in the form out of materialism is feeding the glamours in a very, very subtle way, and making it possible for well-constructed arrangements and systems to be undermined by those who have the right even to attempt to do so, and who are very poor examples of what the founding members of various countries have offered in terms of a better way. We know that Master Rakosi, Master R, the Count, is the regent not only of Europe, but of the United States as well. He's a leader, a supervisor, and we cannot imagine that he approves of the kind of disunity which is manifesting itself, the kind of hatred, division, schisms, you know, of especially the selfish people who are in leadership roles. Not all in leadership roles are selfish. Some are very wise guides. But there are enough of those who respond to the form loving, the love of the third aspect of form which passes away. There's enough of those people to make the situation really dangerous. Now, what I'm going to do, a little review here, perhaps, and just to go back a bit as to where we are, and our reading today will be, not too lengthy, because we have other things to do. DK is telling us a little earlier, we have thought about it, that the work to be done by those who see the world stage as the arena for the conflict between the dweller on the threshold and the angel of the presence might be itemized as follows. Now, certainly that is what is happening. The dweller on the threshold in all of its selfishness is being aided and abetted by those whose selfish aims are satisfied if the dweller wins, however temporary that win may be. So the work that can be done by those who see the battle for what it is, and just to review, is the producing of those world conditions where the forces of light can overcome the forces of evil. That's the first. And the educating of humanity in certain great distinctions, that is the second. And these distinctions, although maybe as students of esotericism, we think we see them clearly, they are not seen clearly at all by the majority of the mass of humanity that is still suffering under the bewilderment of mass consciousness. What's the difference between spirituality and materialism, between sharing and greed, between light and dark, between fellowship and separation, between the whole and the part? Let's just say there's a lot of darkness, but the light is beginning to shine, and it reveals a fairly ugly sight, though with great possibilities if people like ourselves will assume the proper role. Then the third item is to prepare the way for the coming spiritual energies leading to mental clarification. And we need the intuition, yes, and we need the activity of light. We need inspiration. Those are three great factors. And they relate to three techniques, which we will be studying. The energy of intuition dispels glamour. That's the illusion. And that's going to be the work of the technique of the presence. And the activity of light is the one we use, and that dissipates glamour. and is more understandable, perhaps, than the technique of the presence. And then, under the inspiration, we contribute to the dispersal and devitalization of Maya in a way that may come first, and order of the right kind, and according to the plan, being restored to the way humanity operates. Then the fourth point, new life is being released into the planet, and we have to use it the proper way to defeat these forces of destruction and negativity. And then we have to somehow widely spread to the nations of the world, and not only we, but every sincere disciple and group of disciples, the truths taught by the Buddha. And this goes back a ways, you know, to what we had to deal with the Axis powers. But at the same time, those very powers appearing in a different mode still exist and are still extremely dangerous, because it will be a while before the forces of materialism are defeated. I don't think we want to wait around for the judgment day, which is millions of years ahead, and during which the remaining human beings on this planet will all be on the path, and others will be in different parts of the solar system, and different even parts of our subtle parts of our planet, for some kind of re-educative work that prevents their concrete mind from being either overly dominant or insufficiently trained. So we need to learn the teachings of the Buddha. We need to learn the law of love, which the Christ brings out. All of this can happen and must happen if we learn the meaning of putting first things first, the meaning of renunciation, and the use of the sacrificial will of the soul. We've had our interim between the end of the war in 1945 and a great event with the planetary conclave 80 years later, and it's coming up upon us. This is already 75 years since the end of that war, which should have been a war to stop all wars, but it was not yet, because the door where evil dwells was left ajar. So here we are, moving ahead just a little bit now. This is our 160th program, and we've been having readings amounting to 100 readings or so, and we're on page 166. The amount of work to be done is extremely demanding. And in the period immediately before the Second World War, people didn't take it seriously enough. And as far as the First World War was concerned, in a way, they just didn't see it coming at all. It suddenly came upon humanity. Maybe those in the know knew what the dangers were, but let's just say that humanity was enjoying the tail end of the Edwardian era in certain of the more advanced countries, and just simply suffering as usual in the less developed nations of the world. And colonialism was still very powerful. So that was just not perceived as a possibility. And there it was suddenly with the assassination of the Archduke, who was the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and everything was suddenly thrown into chaos. Although I must say that a psychologist like Carl Jung began to have nightmares some years, a couple of years before all this happened, and he foresaw it because he was deeply into the psyche of humanity, and most people were thinking superficially, but not he. He saw the carnage of the so-called war to end all wars. Well, it wasn't that. It did not end all wars, and humanity is still selfish. And we can hope that the suffering now, which may be, I suppose, engineered by Sanat Kumara, a universal epidemic, will help to cure humanity of much of its selfishness. Maybe not until the second initiation can an individual say, well, I have fought a major Martian battle against selfishness, and I've used certain second-ray planets like Venus and Jupiter and Neptune, all higher mental or Buddhic planets, to overcome selfishness. And we're not there yet, but there can be an improvement at least. And as students of esotericism, we want to help with that. I'll never say that we are esotericists. We are not esotericists. Not yet. We are merely students of that which can develop in our psyche and in our energy system if we proceed properly. Students need to remember, says the Tibetan, that all manifestations and every point of crisis are symbolized by the ancient symbol of a point within the circle, the focus of power within the sphere or influence of the aura. And probably, whether we're an astrologer or not, we recognize that that point within the circle is the ancient symbol of the sun, and in a way of any entity with its immortal nucleus and its sphere of influence. It's even the symbol of the great, you know, universal logos. There is the point of pure being, and then there is the sphere. So it is today with the entire problem of ending the world glamour and illusion, which fundamentally lie behind the present acute situation and world catastrophe. So DK is tracing these things to their source. We may think it's this reason or that reason, but with his long experience, he knows that we are wallowing in glamour and illusion, and that really is the cause of so many of the undesirable situations with which we are confronted. A world catastrophe. Okay, now that was, you know, probably written before the second part of the war, before the Second World War, but we're still in a world catastrophe. It has gone underground, but the fundamental glamour and illusion have not been solved. And although there are perhaps not enough mentally focused people to solve the question of illusion, we can do quite a bit with glamour and with Maya per se. So the possibility of such dispelling and dissipation is definitely centered in the two avatars, the Buddha and the Christ. And notice the complete unselfishness of these beings, the Buddha and the Christ, because an avatar descends strictly in order to help and with no particular gain to themselves. That is not their motive, but of course, gain will come with any great and unselfish act. So we have to learn that we are under the guidance of two very unusual teachers, perhaps the first teachers in present-day humanity who have had at the sixth initiation a cosmic touch. Now, you know, everything that we hope will be uplifting spiritually for ourselves and for humanity lies still on the cosmic physical plane. And even the majority of masters are still struggling toward the monadic level of polarization. But there's more, and these two great teachers, following now, I think, the figure eight, can begin to spend time on the cosmic astral plane and then back to the cosmic physical. And so until they take the ninth initiation, where temporarily at least they refuse to have anything more to do with the cosmic physical plane. That is coming, but the whole age of Aquarius lies ahead for what may well be, I think it is, their greatest service to humanity. Within the world of glamour, the world of the astral plane and of the emotions, appeared a point of light. The Lord of Light, the Buddha, undertook to focus in himself the illumination which would eventually make possible the dissipation of glamour. So, you know, each one of these great avatars, they have assignments or undertakings at great sacrifice, always. And we don't really understand the methods by which they did this, nor do we have to, but we must know that light and love are coming through them, and we must be in a position to help spread that light and love and an understanding of it to those who have no idea at all that this is happening. Within the world of, now this is the world of glamour, see, and somehow the Buddha and his clear thinking, inspired from the cosmic mental plane, is doing much to help dissipate the glamour. Within the world of illusion, the world of the mental plane, appeared the Christ. And this is probably, for us, an unusual idea. We might associate the Christ more with the emotional plane and the Buddha with the mental plane, and that also is true in another way. But within the world of illusion, the world of the mental plane, appeared the Christ, the Lord of Love himself, who embodied in himself the power of the attractive will of God. He undertook to dispel illusion by drawing to himself, by the potency of love, the hearts of all men, and stated this determination in the words, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Now, usually, you know, that is misinterpreted as if I am put on the cross and undergo crucifixion, then all men will worship me and acquiesce to me and thus be saved. Well, so we can see how distortions arise, or at least let's call it incomplete understanding arises. So this is two areas, the area of glamour and the area of illusion, which, or world of glamour, world of illusion, to which attention is being paid by great avatars. And now they have presented certain attributes. You may remember that the third ray method of an advanced type of meditation that leads to the fusion of the soul and personality is called presented attributes. Ray one, isolated unity. Ray two, inclusive reason. Ray three, presented attributes. And the attribute of wisdom and light presented by the Buddha, and the attribute of love presented by the Christ. And now it's quite a bit later, 2,000 years later, 2,500 years later, and maybe some human beings are beginning to get it, you know. So in the world of illusion and the world of the mental plane, the Christ appeared. And he could draw by rising up to the seventh initiation from the sixth, which he had achieved, and the Buddha the same. He could esoterically draw all men unto himself. And the Buddha is doing the same thing in his own way. It's not a question of the crucifixion per se. That's a step along the way, and maybe 5,000 years ago, at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, the Christ as Krishna underwent that particular sacrifice. From the point they then will have reached, the world of spiritual perception of truth and of divine ideas will stand revealed. So, you know, both of these great avatars are working on the seventh initiation. And although some initiations can be taken in the same life, which is astonishing, the second, third, and fourth, even in the same life, for those who care enough and know how to proceed, the other initiations begin to elongate and take longer and longer. And the seventh initiation is a lengthy process, which seems, in the case of the Christ at least, to be taking some 5,000 years almost. And the Buddha himself has not yet taken that degree. But when they do, they will pass before the planetary logos, who is the initiator at that particular initiation, and they will move on to greater heights of service, no longer just specifically with humanity. So from the point they then will have reached, the world of spiritual perception of truth and of divine ideas will stand revealed. Does it stand revealed to us now? We have to say no. But the result will be the disappearing of illusion, and many more human beings will be, if not mentally polarized, then at least mentally focused. I do distinguish between the two, okay? Because mental polarization, interesting, he talks about it when he's discussing the sixth initiation, does not occur until midway between the second and third initiation. And we know that the masses of humanity and even so many disciples in the world are not there yet. What is the object before them is primarily the second initiation. That was the case with DK students, and I don't see why it should not be in general the case for the majority of disciples today. But then the day comes and the second initiation is taken and the astral body is subdued, and then mental polarization becomes possible. And then you can tread the Syrian line of initiation in all earnestness and with the expectation of success. The combined work of these two great sons of God, concentrated through the world disciples and through their initiates, that's interesting, must and will inevitably shatter illusion and dispel glamour. Shatter illusion, because there's so much concretion in illusion that it needs to be shattered. And the fogs, mists, veils, clouds, whatever you want to call it, of glamour need to be loosened. And, you know, like you've seen it in the morning, the fogs hang over the fields and the sun is rising. And then after a while, those fogs disappear under the influence of the sun. That is like an analogy to this kind of dissipation which is occurring. And the first is shattered or dispensed with by the intuitive recognition of reality by the minds attuned to it, and the other by the pouring in of the light of reason. So do we have enough of that intuition going for us that the what we would call a more real state of realization is actually standing forth to us in our consciousness? Well, if you know, we look around, humanity is still very much afflicted by the mass consciousness. And a lot of the people emerging into personal distinction are doing so at first, almost inevitably, in a selfish way. So as DK has told us, that the coming on now of more and more personalities presents its own problems. And we can see that this is the case. The fifth petal of the egoic lotus has so much transitional activity within it, all the way from extreme selfishness to the kind of relinquishments that have to be given in order to take the first initiation. It's a big road. It's a big trip. So the combined work of these two great sons of God, concentrated through the world disciples and through their initiates. Now, the initiates are, in a way, belonging to the two great sons of God. That's how to understand that, I think. Must and will inevitably shatter illusion. Now, sometimes different words are being used here, and dispel glamour. We often hear of dispelling illusion, because under the spell of reality, illusion simply vanishes. You don't have to blow away that substance of glamour, you know, as if by a wind. The light takes care of that, and the word dispelling is connected with illusion. But here, he's changed the verbs, and he's asking us to shatter illusion, all of the concrete-minded misinterpretations, and they are rife now, especially when backed by fervent, unthinking emotion. So those concretions have to be shattered, and then also glamour can be dispelled and reveal the world of reality. So the first happens by intuitive recognition, intuitive instinct, we might call it, of reality by minds attuned to it. The mind can be attuned to the transcendental mind. The transcendental mind is the mind of Buddhi, and it's a high Mercurian function, we might say. And the other, namely glamour, by the pouring in of the light of reason. So, you know, when people go to a psychologist and they try to work out their problems and their unhappiness and, you know, various things that seem to be going wrong with their life, they are applying this light of reason to their experience. And there's a lot of this dissipation of glamour going on in the psychological work that has become very necessary in the world. That's one thing, you know, with the master Apollodorus, I guess his name is, or Apollodorus, the fourth ray master who lives in the United States and is behind the psychology movement, the new psychology. And he's a member, I believe, of the Brotherhood of Luxor, which has Serapis Bay and another Englishman connected with it. And suffice it to say, the psychological work being done with millions now is very important in the dissipation of glamour. Now, there's a lot of people who haven't even reached the stage where they think that psychological work, examination, applying reason to their psyche is even necessary. And we have to, with the advancement of esoteric psychology, persuade and reveal that it is necessary. And then indeed, we can light the way. That is the motto for the U.S., and all the other mottos are equally good when they've been given and represent some real advancement for humanity. And probably every nation has its motto, and maybe for some of the smaller nations, they take up the motto of the planetary center to which they belong because of proximity. You know, there's a lot of countries belonging to the center in Geneva, then across the world to London, and in North and South America to the center we call New York, and then in the Far East, Tokyo will certainly be a great center for quite a number of countries, including China, interestingly enough. And then we will have a very important Darjeeling ruling in India and in related South Asian, Middle Asian countries. Anyway, that's another subject, but DK has not given us all of the progressive mottos of the various countries. Probably they do exist, and where we don't know that they exist, the motto of the planetary center with which the country is associated can be taken. Now, the Buddha made the first planetary effort to dissipate world glamour. The Christ made the first planetary effort toward dispelling illusion. I guess, you know, that's a very important couple of sentences there. So first, naturally, the work on glamour had to be done, and it's far from completed, but at least we have esoterically the area of work to which these two great ones have attended. The world of glamour, the Buddha, and the world of illusion, the dispelling of illusion. And this time, he does use the word dispelling in relation to illusion. You know, to dispel something is like a rapid realization that the thing that you thought existed does not really exist at all. it's an unreality. When it comes to glamour, you know, it's a little slower process and more tangible. Their work must now be intelligently carried forward by a humanity wise enough to recognize its dharma. Men are being rapidly disillusioned. Interesting how we usually use that word in a negative sense. Oh, I feel so disillusioned, as if it's some kind of disaster to be disillusioned. But in fact, any kind of disappointment we may suffer because of disillusionment is well worth the process of getting rid of those illusions. Men are being rapidly disillusioned and will consequently see more clearly. Of course, this is somewhat true of glamour as well, clarity of sight. The world glamour is being steadily removed from the ways of men because it misdirects them. When you're under the influence of glamour, you take errant paths and you throw yourself into those various erroneous paths, errant and leading nowhere, and you end up in trouble with a great deal of disappointment. There's a German song I used to sing. It's by Robert Schumann, and it's all about two enthusiastic youths that started out their life, and what happened to them, you know, along the way. And one took the conventional path and married and family and all the rest of it. And the other attempted to find out what life was all about, but he wound up overcome by the word is Schlund. It just means by the waters or by, I don't know exactly how to translate it, but it's like emerging from the waters, and his life was gone. He had given it to the waves of glamour in which he was immersed. So a beautiful song it is. And but, you know, people are misled by glamour, and they put their whole enthusiastic self into it. And then they wake up sadder but wiser down the road, having, in the process, having swum in the sea of glamour. They've wasted their time, they've wasted their life, maybe they've learned something, but they've been misled by false goals and the enthusiasm that attends the following of false goals. So anyway, these two developments have been brought about by the incoming new ideas focused through the world intuitives and released to the general public by the world thinkers. The thinkers have an important role to play. Now, I think I have a feeling not to go farther with this right now. It's a very lengthy paragraph, and I think we have to get into our meditation in very stressful times when the best values that humanity has managed to extract from the world of possibilities are being threatened by little and selfish psyches. So I'll take it here to this point, and we'll continue because It's very important. And beginning here on, I think, we'll just have to see it. It is maybe the day of the full moon, and I'm not sure that we'll be offering the program on the day of the full moon. It might be 2 weeks away yet, again. So we'll have to see. But for the time being, I'll put it up as if it were going to occur. And it would be program 161. And if we have to wait 2 weeks, then it'll be 2 weeks and not just a week. Anyway, you can see, friends, that there's plenty to think about. And the forces, often of our own making, but certainly aided and abetted by those powers that mean no good for humanity and no good for the divine plan, are hard at work obstructing the path. And they have their own methods of aiding the obstruction, of swelling the obstruction, of bewildering we unaware human beings, because we're not yet trained in the kind of esotericism that they can use to stop our progress and stop the progress of humanity. Okay, so we have time for maybe a little bit. We're going to, as I say, continue to meditate on manipulation, and we're going to use some first ray methods, because the great mantrum around which this type of program and more programs in the future for the next number of weeks until the election, the wilderness period, is written on the first ray. And we'll have to revive it for those who can protect themselves adequately and who can stand working with a strongly expulsive invocation. Some expelling has to be accomplished. Okay, so are there any questions or statements for a little while, and then we'll get into the meditation. Anything you want to say about what we've been discussing? We will not extend the conversation too much, because I think we just have to get into this meditative work. Anything?
I am not seeing. Oh, Olivia's hand is raised now.
Okay, Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, there have been so many things that have happened. Each day has just been shocking with new developments. And so we really have had a lot to absorb. But I think this one article in the Atlantic magazine on the election that could break America, that was so shocking, I think, for so many of us, because everything that we thought that might be too much for Trump to do, he wouldn't do this, or he wouldn't do that. It was shocking to find out what was already underway. And of course, he then came out and told us exactly what he was thinking of doing, which was not accepting the results of the election, and therefore not leaving office. So it's been quite a lot to absorb, I think, for all of us, keeping up with what's going on in our country. But at least we know a lot more of what we're up against and why we need to use the will and a much stronger focus to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it really is the emerging fascism that DK warned about. He called it latent, but now it's become more overt. And this is a trend that is fostered by the Lodge of Darkness. It if it happens in the United States successfully, there's nothing to stop it from contaminating many other countries that look to the U.S. for guidance and say, okay, we can deal with that. I mean, it's showing itself in Brazil right now. It's showing itself in Hungary. Interestingly, that in the United Kingdom, the prime minister, maybe because of getting the disease himself, is a little bit chastened, you might say. He realizes more deeply what is being involved. So it, although their numbers are terrible, at least we don't have anything like this blatant dictatorial tendencies. And the next 40 days and following, of course, because a lot of shenanigans can occur after the election and before the inauguration, we may have exactly what the so-called founding fathers dreaded about the possibilities of corrupting the new system that they had created. And so that's going to be tested out. I think we also have to look at the horoscope of the United States and the activity of Saturn and Pluto as they are involved, because we have so much of the destructive energy coming out, and we know that the Lodge of Light can use any indication to advance the cause of humanity, but so can the Lodge of Darkness use some of those first-rate planets to really stop progress, and they're doing everything they can with what I might call an infantile psyche. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us, and the rule of evil now must end. I know maybe some of you, I doubt it, but maybe some of you are Trumpites. Well, okay, I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. What can I say? The Tibetan in the mid-30s, he wanted no criticism of any group, because they were working on a great stream of love and goodwill that could have saved humanity from the Second World War. After a few years, his words were Hitler and his evil gang. So you can imagine, once a fascist dictator gains power, you come along and say, sir, we'd like to hold an election to see whether you can really stay in power. And, you know, how would that have succeeded in Germany? And if it goes too far in the U.S. and other countries, then fascism and dictatorial tendencies will take over. And we can't let that happen. Fortunately, there are many powerful people of real goodwill and real skill also working on the subject in external ways, right in the thick of government. And we also have to rely upon them as well as our own esoteric methods.
Mm-hmm. Good points.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Libby. Okay, let's see here. Rebecca.
Rebecca writes, from latent to blatant.
Ah, good. Actually, that's that's a memorable one, Rebecca. Okay, that's that, you know, the reincarnation, which is one of the things that the Christ will teach is such an important interpretive point. Not only is it factual, but it gives entirely new motivations, and it will undercut the kind of racism that Trump is advancing, and in other places, you know, the attempt to hang on to the white male domination is completely undermined when you realize the universality of reincarnation. We could be born in any race, in any country. We could be born, you know, there's so many men that would be really upset if they thought they might be born a woman in their next life, and maybe an underprivileged one at that. But, you know, it will be proven, I do believe. And then as a result of that proof, due to the research of certain very subtle scientists, because that's one of the first things they're going to work on, is the whole factor of reincarnation, seed group number 7, it's going to change attitudes everywhere, and it's going to change the dogma of religion as well, and the power of certain illusory thought forms over the minds of the many. We have to see that through. It'll probably take a few centuries.
Olivia, your hand is raised again. Did you want to speak?
Oh, no, sorry. No, it's okay. Not.
It's oh, not. It was there for a second, and then now it's sorry. Gone. Now it's gone.
Okay,
now it's gone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Olivia, that's Rebecca. Anybody else want to say something, ask something before we get into our work?
I am seeing no other hands raised or questions or comments in the chat box.
Okay, well, I think we're all eager to continue this important work that we as students of esotericism can contribute to. What I'd like to do, you know, is this time anyway, is focus here on the, see if I can find this. Here it is. I'd like to focus on this mantra at the beginning and at the end. So you can say it along silently within yourself or out loud at home, you know, wherever you may be, and then we'll repeat it when we reach the end of our meditation today. And I think we will, although this was written in the middle of the war, when Germany's advance over France and other European nations was rampant, you know, the Blitzkrieg, the Lightning War, and all that, it has its relevance today. And evil is seeking to germinate within the human psyche again. And we must take the psychological approach. And not let it proceed. So you can say along with me, but keep yourself muted. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. And notice the word now is italicized. I think we'll be using this quite a bit, and DK does talk about it. And I think we'll manage, Tuya and Olivia and myself, to call together some kind of session in which we begin to look at what the Tibetan actually said about this invocation, because it's pretty pretty illuminating, and it's in the externalization of the hierarchy, and also I think in somewhere in Discipleship in the New Age, maybe volume 2, I think so. But if not, at least it's in the externalization. And we'll work on understanding why we use this. Of course, we will not cease to use the final great invocation stanza. So let's have some silence. As we come together in the silence is the synthesis. And we'll, now we really are, you know, entering into the, as they say, the gloves are off, or one is playing hardball here when one starts to use this first ray invocation. And it really should be used only by those who protect themselves, and also who feel the inclination to use it. It should not be forced upon anybody. So the protective formula with the long-armed cross, and we'll trace light as we do that. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And this cross of divinity, it appears before each of us, and then in a larger sense before the entire group that is going to release a beam, a strengthened beam of glamour detecting light and glamour dissipating power. So we focus on the dual light of matter and of mind, raising the light of matter up onto the mental plane where it joins the light of the reasoning, logical mind, vitalized reasoning and logic, clear thinking. And we reach into the higher worlds, the world of the soul, the light of the soul. See if we can feel that light. And bring it down to join the other two lights. So we have the soul-inspired, vitalized, reasoning mind. And all of this is focused in the area now of the brow. And three lights are as if one light, and from it, this combination, the beam will go forth. And we say together, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Oh. So we're going to use the formula, and as we use it, the group members will visualize a great searchlight that they have created, turning its light upon the astral plane. It's our solar plexus that puts us on rapport with the astral plane. But it's this beam of light from higher areas of our energy system which operates on this plane with which we have been put in touch. So then the formula, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth. The inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light, we work and turn the darkness into day. And then we add to this beam that we have created, all the while protected by the cross of divinity. We add to it the invocation of the spiritual will, strengthening our beam. And we say, as the spiritual will strengthens the beam, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. Our goal, as we throw the beam upon it, for the sake of dissipation, is this devious and constant manipulation which so arranges circumstances that selfishness can succeed and the people's will cannot be carried out. There has been so much lost through this third-ray power of manipulation, which basically robs people of their intention and sets up circumstances in such a way that the good is thwarted. And so much of it is under the table as well. So one does not see the machinations, the plotting, the planning. The theft through manipulation. And so we will use the words of power to help to overcome, to dissipate this glamour of devious and constant manipulation. As we say and think about and engage in the weakening of this glamour, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of devious and constant manipulation. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind this glamour of devious and constant manipulation. Now we will visualize, continue to visualize our beam, our strengthened beam, penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and its dissipation. And we'll have our 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose whilst this work upon the astral plane is seen as proceeding. We know that the manipulator never respects those whom he manipulates. And so we must establish right human relations if this manipulation is to end. This pulling of strings, this working from the outside in, this imposition of circumstance to overcome the will of others. So we withdraw our beam at this time back to its source. And the lights return to their levels. And the sun shines. We imagine it so. Upon a somewhat clarified condition on the astral plane. And we sound the Om three times to recognize, affirm that something of value, a little bit, has been done. Oh. And we turn again to this mantra of power. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the plan. The work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. Thank you for your participation. We'll work hard during the coming months to make sure that the best human values emerge in the countries that are threatened by the reduction, the ignoring of these values. And we'll continue to work on the glamour of manipulation, hoping then and seeing a straightforwardness, an open-handedness, a directness, a non-lying develop between people so they don't try to take advantage of each other and instead establish right human relations. Tonight, 5 p.m., continuing with a treatise on cosmic fire in depth, and certainly a regeneration of our etheric physical apparatus and our higher and lower mind and our will. These are all needed. Thank you for your presence, and thank you, Anna, for that, and maybe copy that from DK's quote. It's good about these two children, but I don't want to deviate now. I just want to esoteric healing. Okay, chapter 4. Very good. Okay. There's a lot that you've written down there, and we'll just have to, those who are interested, copy it down and study that. We're completed for now. Bye-bye. Love and many blessings. We'll see you soon.